Why do some things grow and others don't? This is a question that I often ask. You could have two things that are alike in almost every way, and you do the same thing to each, and one grows and the other withers. It's a big mystery. Even with our Easter flowers, you saw that as the weeks went on of Easter, we have fewer and fewer. Some of them survive, some of them don't. We have this one lonely pink hydrangea in the middle. It's the only survivor of the pink hydrangeas. The first week we came in and all of them had withered. We did the same thing to each of them and one survived. One grew, but the others didn't. And there's a mystery in this. Why is it that some things grow and others just don't? We can even look theologically and spiritually at this. Why is it that some people receive the gospel and become Christians and grow in their faith, but some hear that same gospel and turn away? There's a great mystery in this. I know mothers feel this in particular on Mother's Day. Your children, some of them continue to follow the Lord and follow the faith that you instilled in them, and some of them don't. And this is a great suffering, I know, especially for the heart of a mother, because you ask why. I did the same thing for each of them. Why some and not others? It can be a particular burden. It can be a challenge, a struggle, because you ask this question, why? In our reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, many people and many numbers grow. The author says, as the number of disciples continued to grow, and the word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly, we hear about the growth, but we don't hear about the other side. I bet even as the numbers were growing and as the word of God was spreading, it wasn't among a certain population. It says some of the priests, a large group of the priests, were becoming obedient to the faith. But in the same breath, some weren't. The same gospel was preached, but some grew and others didn't. I think St. Peter gives us a little glimpse of this in his first letter, too. He talks about this stone, this rock. The rock, of course, is Jesus. It's the gospel. And he says even that it was foretold in Scripture, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. But in that same vein, in the next breath, he says, that stone will make some people stumble. That rock will make them fall. It's the same stone. The same stone that some build their lives on is the stone that causes others to stumble, to fall. That's what St. Peter tells us. St. Paul, his brother and companion, says something very similar to the Corinthians. He says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the same cross. It's the same stone. It's the same message, the same conditions. But for some, it causes growth and life. And for others, it's forgotten, even discarded. Why is that? One word, brothers and sisters, faith. The gift of faith. It makes all the difference. Some have that gift of faith and some stumble. And it's a great sadness. St. Thomas Aquinas defined faith as this: an act of the intellect, my knowing, assenting to divine truth, under the dominion of the will, my choosing. But then the third part is equally important: as moved by God's grace. Faith is a gift. It's offered. But it's our choosing that meets God's choosing. This is what the gift of faith ultimately is. It involves both our choosing and God's choosing. And there's a great mystery in that, of why some are chosen and why some aren't. Why some are able to receive the gift of faith and choose to live for the Lord, and why some stumble and fall. Why one and not the other? It involves both. It's both God's choosing and man's choosing. It's faith. And this is the faith that we celebrate at Easter. It's the faith that each of us, the baptized, have received and need to continue to choose and continue to celebrate. The gift of faith brings life to the world. It causes growth, that the Word of God would continue to spread and to grow. Jesus, at the Last Supper, tells his disciples, "You have faith in God. Have faith also in me." He invites them into that gift. He lays it out before him and he lets them choose. Even when they don't get it, even when their intellects are dark, they don't understand it, their wills are weak, he still offers the gift. And some choose it around the table, 11, and one doesn't. But he still offers. He still gives. He still says those words to each of them: "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He offers that same choice, that same gift to all of them. It's an objective reality. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Whether we believe it or not, it's an objective reality. And it needs to touch our human hearts, to touch us subjectively. It's God's choosing meeting my decision of faith. And he keeps offering it. The gospel must continue to be preached. I'm going to keep preaching. These next 6 years that I'll be your pastor, I'm going to keep preaching. And I know some will grow and others won't. As we live stream and as we reach out, I know we'll reach some and we won't reach others. And we'll do our best. We'll do our best to get those numbers up on the views. Maybe it's hovering around 100, 150 right now. We're going to do our best to create a good product. We're going to do our best to proclaim the gospel, to reach out. And I know some will choose. Some will say yes. But for some, it will be too much. For some, the gift of faith is that stumbling block. But we keep reaching out. We keep praying. We keep staying strong and steady on that rock of faith. Not in an arrogant way, not in a condemning way or a judgmental way, but in a way that acknowledges the gift that has been given freely. the gift that saved me, the gift of faith that made all of the difference, that recognition like Mary had at the Magnificat, that the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. I've been saved by the cross. That's foolishness for some. But for me, being saved, it is the power of God. It is the cure administered to me in my sickness that has made all the difference. And so I invite you, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, continue to choose the gift of faith, to live for Jesus, to stand firmly on that rock rejected by the builders. It has become the cornerstone of the church, the cornerstone of a living faith, alive in hearts made of human flesh. If you are stumbling on that rock, continue to pray and ask for that gift of faith. If you know people who are continuing to stumble over that rock, pray for them. Reach out as best you're able. But you live your faith. You choose. This will make all the difference. God has called each of us uniquely by name. Let us answer, brothers and sisters, saying, Lord, save us. Lord, redeem us. Lord, give us the gift of faith.